From the advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut. Wherever that is. This is Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson.
Ah, yes. Live from my new studio. Look at my shiplap. Thank you, Chip and Joanna Gaines. Just kidding. That'd be cool, though. Welcome to Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, the bi-weekly-ish podcast all about marketing in the automotive industry. I'm assuming by now you've all heard of AI, right? Artificial intelligence. I was always seeing things about AI and reading about ChatGPT and didn't really think anything of it or make any moves on learning about it. And then one day I was in front of my computer and I'm like, let me see what this is all about, right? So I Google it and figure out the website you got to go to, and I check out ChatGPT, and I'm in there and I'm like, trying to figure out what I can do with it. And so I asked it to tell me the difference between a Ford Bronco and a Jeep Wrangler. And it spit out some differences. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was like, how can this apply to like what I do though? Like, you know, I'm a former marketing director at an auto group and current digital operations manager at an agency. And like, what can I do with this? So I said, write me an email blast for Alfa Romeo off-lease customers. And you know what it did? It wrote me an email blast that I could use to off-lease customers who own Alfa Romeos. And I said, interesting. But that's basically as far as I took it. And then I was on the phone the other day with this guy. And so it turns out he had a lot of great ideas. And not only do I think this episode can help you, but I think it could help me. So this is almost like we're going to have to do a tutorial someday, because I think this is a very important subject to talk about. And I think we're going to all learn a lot. Now, this guy is the marketing director at Trotman Auto Group. He's a podcast host. He's a co-host of Art World 100. And he's got a ton of automotive and agency experience. And he's a visual artist. Let's bring him on. His name is Steve Bayless. Steve, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. Thanks for having me. Long time listener, so I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate that. I forgot the most important thing to mention is you're in Canada, and I love talking to people in Canada. This is the reason I wanted to have you on, really.
Well, thank you. And I'm sorry. That's what I'm supposed to say. Thank you, and I'm sorry. That's very Canadian.
Yeah, you guys apologize for everything. Let's talk about AI, all right? I think for me, as you heard in my little intro there, is like I know it exists. I know that it can do a lot. But then when it comes to application on the dealership level or at the agency side, like for my job, what can I do with it? And I know that's a long answered question, but let's pick something and start with it and talk about it from there. Let's talk about marketing. How could it help me in automotive marketing?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people are afraid of AI. They think it's just going to take their job or it's going to ruin their lives. And I think I look at it like this big wave's coming, and I can either be put my head in the sand or I can be like a Hawaiian surfer. And I want to be that big kahuna and kind of get that wave, because once it hits, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but right. I'd rather be above the water than below it. So that's where I started thinking about it. I've been in technology my whole life. In 1985, I built my first computer with my dad. And since then, I've been immersed with tech. So for me, I don't think AI is new. It's just the application lately in the last 6 months is so different and so applicable that it's like game changing. And so from a marketing point of view, it allows you to do so many things. It gives you sort of like extra legs, extra strength, extra capacity, extra whatever you need, depending on how you utilize it. So one thing I think too, just to be clear, like it doesn't replace thinking. And right. So when I talk to a lot of young people, especially like university students about it, they're like skeptical because it's true, because you still need to learn everything. You need to digest it and you need to curate, because without that knowledge, it just makes you kind of like really, you just have a lot of things to say without any knowledge. So from a marketing point of view, where I've been using it tactically is for everything from concepting. So like the starting point all the way through the different production cycle. So if you think about brainstorming or even idea generation or deep diving for an agency, here's a great example is you got a new client and it's a new industry. So how do you deep dive into that industry? Well, you research, you read all of these things. So this will allow you to kind of get some base level knowledge right out of the gate. Then what you can do is ask it, you know, poignant questions that will then give you more intel, more information. And so from just a starting point, you're able to level up instantly rather than spending all of those hours that when I used to own an agency, all the hours that go into just learning and researching that client.
Taking some notes here. So I'm just going to soak in all your knowledge here.
Absolutely. And so I think that then from it, it just kind of grows and grows. So another idea, instance is coming up with like copywriting is the first obvious one. Web copy is even the easiest one because so much time is wasted on web copy. And mm-hmm. this is more from an agency level. But if we were going to flip it over to like the automotive level, that's where I think it gets really interesting because I've kind of spent a lot of time thinking about how AI can be applied to dealers, to sales, to fixed ops, to managers, to marketing departments and so forth.
I think you make an interesting point when you talk about people, because there's the fear of the unknown, right? Like I was talking to a guy who I mentioned ChatGPT to him and he was like, that's going to steal all our jobs. I'm like, dude, because he's a salesperson at a Ford dealer. I'm like, that's a little bit of an overreaction, right? But how can a guy like that decide, okay, this can actually help me as opposed to it's not here to replace me?
Exactly. Well, I mean, the tractor replaced a lot of jobs.
Right. Yeah.
Like way more jobs than ChatGPT. Well, probably more than, you know what I mean? Like that was a huge threat to society. But do we think should we have gotten rid of the tractor? Probably not. And so I think it's true that some people will lose jobs. The people that are not, you know, performing, the people that are not passionate about their careers, perhaps will be left behind because there will be gaps now.
Right.
But people that are passionate about their job will have the opportunity to level up and show that difference instantly. So for example, as a salesperson, how much time do you spend fussing over those emails and how to spend the perfect response? Well, in a matter of seconds, you can have ChatGPT craft a perfect response. You can give it the right prompts, the right information about the customer and say, how can I persuade them or inspire them or inform them to do this? And it'll come up with options for you. So rather than, like some of us, I think over the years, maybe not myself, but there's people that are just masters of crafting messages. And those mm-hmm. people will use it to now take their messages and make them better. Others will just be able to get to a level where it's just really good. People that have difficulties with English as their first language, you can now write really perfect emails and messages instantly. You can now give customers the ability to like let's say they're choosing between two models or they're choosing between you and something else, give it persuasive reasoning why they should choose you rather than you having to think about that every time. What AI does is it's such a deep learning. It's taking kind of the general best answer, right? Which in a lot of cases is better than our best answer.
Right.
And so I think from just a very like an efficiency level as a salesperson, you should be able to respond 10x to your responses because you're not spending any time. Actually, all you're doing is reading them, changing a couple words, making sure it's right. But you're not spending time getting your brain going every time. Because then from that knowledge, you can actually expand yourself because it's giving you these great responses that are probably making you better in person too. So you're able to kind of learn and from it as well.
I'm thinking of a BDC person who's sitting in their BDC cube or office and responding to internet leads all day.
A game changer. Yeah, the other thing is even like this is like as a tactical LinkedIn strategy is let's say you want to build a network on your LinkedIn and you want to like respond with intention to all these different comments or posts and stuff. You could just have ChatGPT curate, like read that post and say, give me a thoughtful, casual toned response, right? And then it's all about the way you tell it. If you say casual tone, it won't, it'll be nice. You know, if you say, give it a whatever response, it'll be different. But then all of a sudden now you don't even have to think, and you can get 10 different responses that are intentional, that have value, that drive conversation. And then boom, you're done for the day. You got your 10 whatever, right?
Right.
But it allows you to just not have to think about those tasks as well, but add value to
them. I see that as efficient. You're being efficient with your time. I look at like social media posts, you know, like if I'm posting a podcast episode that I recorded, and I gotta record it, and then I gotta like put it through my video encoder, and then I gotta upload it, and then I gotta upload the audio, and then I gotta write social media posts. Like if I get the social media post part done in a quarter of the time, that's a part of my doing this that's more efficient, right? Like why not get help if you can?
Totally. And think about too, like your headline is your most critical thing, right? Mm-hmm. So how much time do you spend writing that perfect headline?
I write it five times till I get the right one. You know, I'm writing it and like, no, that's not it. That's not it. Like spit it out for me.
So what you can do is you can say, first off, based on this, write some headline options. And then you don't even have to know where to start. You'll have, you could, and the secret to these things is being specific and being clear. So putting in the right inputs will give you better outputs. So giving it more information, and maybe in another episode, we could actually show how it works. But
yeah.
For now, like, Just think about right now is like, be specific. So say like, I want list 20 options for titles for this podcast. And then it'll give you 20. If you just say list options, it might give you 5 options.
Right.
Might, you know what I mean? So the more clear you are, I want them to be this sort of style. I don't want them to be like this. It's just like having, you know, when you have a new client at an agency, and let's say you have a branding project as an example, you have a logo criteria document or a branding criteria brief, right? So you have what is it, what do you want, what you don't want, what is it supposed to convey? You know, all of these questions we're used to doing as an agency anyways.
Right.
It's just reapplying it. And that's where I tell other creatives that we're actually the best suited for these technologies because we already use them. For example, if we switch from ChatGPT to something like Midjourney or Stable Diffusion, which are image, which are text to image based AI, the key to that is how well we can describe things. And so think about somebody that goes on to like iStock or Getty Images all day. What are you doing? You're putting in references for images. If you're creative, you're thinking like, is this hyperrealism or is it impressionism? You already know those words and those terms. And so by using them, you get exactly what you want. For example, I'm working with one of my dealerships on a billboard, and they wanted these two Vikings fighting over a ram. And because the guy is the Viking, he's the vehicle Viking, personal branding, right? It's content marketing is a whole nother story. But basically I could have sketched this out and then mocked it up and come up with like 3 concepts and blah, blah, blah. Take me half a day or my team, you know, time to do that. And then it would be good. And then we could get into final production and blah, blah, blah. But within like a matter of minutes, I came up with 20 different options. With what I also was able to do is input the bio photos from the staff photos into the software so that their faces were being rendered in it too. Then I get these high res images, which I can show to the store and say, which direction do you want to go? And then we can refine it and we can make final adjustments and finalize it. But it just allowed us to get so far so quickly and have such a, because I was thinking, I'm a trained illustrator and artist, I can think in those terms, I'm able to get the output that I'm looking for. If you're just saying, I want two guys fighting over a ram, like God knows what that's going to look like.
Right. So yeah, so it sounds like the more specific you are and the more detail you give it, the better the output, because you could say, tell me how to set up a GA4 account. And it'll spit out the steps on how to set up a Google Analytics 4 account. But that's basic, right? There's more, like, it's deeper. There's more to it than just a simple, like, question and answer thing.
Yeah, because first I kind of tell people it's like training a dragon in your basement.
Okay.
Right? like it's got so much potential and it's intense, but like you have to feed it and you have to, like it can either bite you or it can help you, right? And so if you're not careful, it'll just make you look like a fool. But if you're intentional and you're strategic, it can really, you can have a dragon. Everybody wants a dragon. Yeah. And so what they are is you get into these layers. So first you got to train it and prompt it onto your business model. And you basically train it on who you are. So let's say you're a small service center in a small town. Give it all of those inputs, train it on who you are. Then from there, you start asking questions and you get it to do things for you. And over time, you have these chains, these text chains. And that's where the value comes, because then you can go back in and say, okay, now I, like for example, website copy for a new dealership that I'm working on, first training it on that. Then I can go in and say, okay, now I need copy for the, you know, the career section. And it already knows the value, company values. It already knows all of those things. And it can say, okay, well, da, 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 da. And then I'm like, okay, I need some more. I need to write an ad for credit score. And it can go like, you know, it'll know all of the insights and be able to tune it to your audience. And so
you can educate it on, like, let's say you're a small town Jeep store that, you know, has a casual relationship with its clients, is family owned, has been in the market for 50 years. You can teach it those things, the DNA of your dealership. And so when it's doing things for you or spitting out copy or whatever it is, it understands that. It's not just a machine answering one question.
100%.
Wow. Yeah.
And here's a billion dollar business idea if anybody wanted to, is create an API or a software to take each person's business and create a data model for that company. So for example, let's say you're an auto group and you have 11 dealerships, you could create the API so that the entire store could use a ChatGPT that's tailored to them. So every salesperson's ChatGPT is trained on that company model. If you can imagine that, then every salesperson doesn't have to train anything. They just get access to an already trained AI model. And then it can tune it. So it can say our GM department, these are the differentiators and these are the ways we talk to our customer and blah, blah, blah. And then the sales professional can just put in like whatever their prompts are, and it will already digest it through the business model, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that hasn't been established, I don't think, yet. So that's why I'm saying there's a $1 billion idea if somebody wants to take that. And just put my name on the bottom. It would be great. But but for now, you can do that all manually. It's just you'd have to right, have each person kind of do that.
Wow. Can you be my ChatGPT tutor? I need someone to teach me. Like, I want to become an expert now, but I'm not an expert. I need someone to teach me to be an expert. And I feel like you're the person.
I'd love to. Job. Yeah, let's get into it. Totally. And why don't we just get into some like examples for different people within the automotive profession.
Let's do it right now.
So I think that I'm just trying to think first about what's the easiest thing. And so I think we were just talking about sales professionals. Let's just kind of deep a bit into there. And so yeah. I think I've got a couple of things written down here is just improving customer engagement. So just overall, I think that's always the goal of our sales professionals. And so you can have more personalized recommendations quicker. So that's something that I think is always going to help, is more personalization. AI can analyze customer preferences, browser histories, other data to generate vehicle recommendations, and making shopping experiences kind of very tailored. Personalized communication, like I talked about, is really using it to craft more personalized communication quicker, with less errors, with more value, and with more strategy. Because I think that's the thing that I'm a strategic thinker. I'm always thinking strategically, and this just allows everybody to be strategic thinkers. Real-time sentiment analysis. So the thing about this way is that you can now actually analyze in real time like satisfaction levels. This allows you to approach customers differently. Think about even looking at being able to look at different leads and say which one is a higher value lead or hotter. You know, you could even potentially use it for that within your, just so you can prioritize your time as a sales professional. Behavioral insights, I think, is one, so that everybody can have expert level behavioral insights coming on. I mean, we all know that sales professionals don't stay always at the same dealership forever.
Right.
So you might be an amazing sales agent at a Honda dealership, but then you move to GM and have no real understanding of the domestic product. Well, this can give you instant kind of leveling up on that. So you can keep all of your skill set, but now in have product knowledge kind of on tap.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's just some examples for sales, just kind of blurting a whole bunch out.
Yeah. I feel
and
like
then we think,
go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
No, I'm interrupting you.
No, you're the guest. It's my podcast, but you're the guest. You're the one, you're the one doing the teaching here. I feel like I'm just thinking about it from like a training standpoint, like you said, like, we spent a lot of time with new employee onboarding at my last dealership group that I was at. And you mentioned salespeople come and go, right? We'd have three salespeople who were there forever, three who were mid-level and three who would leave. And then we'd recycle new people every 3 months. And you spent a lot of time and energy with onboarding and training. And it sounds like this could be a way to make that more efficient, like adopted from the HR and sales manager level down to a new salesperson.
100%. And for example, if you have new staff or even existing staff, let's say you use a company like a CallRail or like a call tracking service, you can use the AI. There's already products available where you can with AI to input that data. Like basically, the CallRail or whatever will export just a transcript of the call.
Yep.
And then you can input it into ChatGPT or those or similar, and it will identify challenges or opportunities, look at any flag, if you can identify any flags you want to address, and then you can instantly address them with your staff without having to spend any time listening to the calls.
Yeah.
And so all you got to do is the nice thing is you could have like a receptionist input that, like do that as one of their tasks, input it, give it the flags, and then send the flags to the manager.
Yeah. Wow.
And all you have to do is address those. And that could be done today with just a couple of process changes. It's not even, doesn't require any cost or anything. It's just an extra step on your receptionist.
You could upload something in ChatGPT. You need like a paid version or like, how does, like you can, like, can I upload
Two versions.
Okay.
There's 3.5 and 4. 4 has a much stronger logic, so you might as well get it because it's just smarter. And I think it's about $15 Canadian, so whatever that, maybe $10 American a month. So it's minimal.
Can you upload data to it? Like, let's say I wanted to upload, I can't think of a data set. If I want to download some kind of marketing, I don't know, data, programmatic, or Google Analytics or whatever, and upload it and specifically ask it to draw certain conclusions from the data that would take a pivot table and time for someone else to analyze. If you ask it specific questions, will it do that? Can it do that for you? And how do you know what questions
Absolutely.
To ask? You just kind of got to think ahead.
So there's a website called... I think it's called Flow GPT. I'll have to double check it. I think it's Flow GPT. It is a great resource that has like thousands of prompts and like strategic ways of getting to things. So if you want to make a website, here's a bunch of prompts to ask. If you want to do this, here's a bunch of prompts to ask. So it's slowly that industry is starting to take shape. It's almost like a library of prompts. So you could just go down that route, or you could just use it and just practice it and just get better. And that's what I found over the last, since November when it came out, I've been using it and I think I'm just getting better and better at it.
Yeah.
But one thing is for sure is that it loves data. It loves data sets. It loves anything that involves like ones and zeros, because it's easy for it to understand those things, right? If you ask it things that are more like esoteric or more philosophical, then it gets a little bit confused sometimes, I think.
Right. Wow. What about from the...
But you can even use it for like breakfast. Like, you know, let's say you have a new health challenge. You're like, I need to change my diet because I have this. Can you give me like a meal plan for the next 20 days? And it'll do that with recipes and all that. Or you can even go as far as taking a photo of your fridge and saying, here's what's in my fridge. What can I make for dinner for the next 2 days?
Oh my God. I could replace my nanny right now. That'd be mean if she hears this.
She can't look at the, you can't look after your kids anyways. So
no. Kinda... Yeah, that's true, I guess. What about fixed ops? Do you think there's a... I think fixed ops sometimes lags behind sales in terms of, you know, process and, you know, customer relationships. But what are some applications that maybe could happen in the fixed ops side of things?
Yeah. And I know they are always left behind. It seems like whenever I've always mm-hmm. tried to support them with marketing, they're always very grateful. Sales gets all of the money, right?
So, and my last automotive group that I was at, the fixed ops director and I became really good friends. And after a while I said, are we just friends? So I'll help you out. Because in all these meetings, it's all about sales, sales, sales. And it's like, oh yeah, what are we doing for service? It's like the afterthought. So how can ChatGPT help change that is the question, I guess.
Totally. Well, I think the first thing is just working with so many fixed ops managers. They struggle to come up with a strategy, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think quite often either the marketing directors or somebody has to come up with strategies for them, just whether it's like a monthly marketing calendar or other bigger visions, whatever it is. So I think it can allow them to just strategically think first off. Because I think that can just get them started. Secondly, from a more like operational level, predictive maintenance can be done better. So that's something that I'm sure there are softwares and there's going to be companies that are going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
If they, I know they already have, because AI has always been a part of a lot of businesses, but from a much deeper level, I think predictive maintenance could really improve. And then the last one is just like kind of leads to the first one. It's just more business analysis. So let's say you're struggling or you have challenges. You can start to unravel those perhaps with just this, because now you have a sounding board. You have somebody to talk to. You just have a direct, like a starting point. Even if the starting point leads you to hiring an agency at least, or to talk to somebody at least, maybe it can get them out of the mud.
I have an idea. I think we should do another episode where we walk through, like, I'm pretty sure I can bring up a screen on the video here and we can walk through, this would be video only, wouldn't make much sense audio wise maybe, but walk through using it for something. Let's come up with a project. Let's ask it questions. Let's see what it spits out. Almost like a demo. Another episode. You like that idea?
Let's do it.
Okay, so some people who listen to this podcast are other podcasters, right? There's 33 podcasts in the automotive space. And, you know, this one, you know, maybe it's the best, I don't know, second best, whatever. But I think I'm going to use it, ChatGPT, to help me write my titles and my social media copy for this episode. So for it to understand the episode, do I need to, like, upload a transcript, upload the audio, like how does it, or tell it about what my podcast is, what we talked about, and then it'll spit out some ideas? Like,
well, since your podcast has gone global, it will know it.
Really?
So I wouldn't work. It should know. Yeah, no, it will know a bit about you, I'm sure.
Gosh.
It's been trained up to, I think, two years ago. So it depend 2 or 3 years ago. So it depends on how new things are, but you've been global, you've gone viral forever, right? So I'm sure you'll be right in there. But the more information, we'll do this. Maybe we can do this after the call here, as I can do one for you and send it to you.
Teach
absolutely. And then the other place I think as podcasters or just content creators is using it to come up with topic ideas to get started. So for example, let's say you have four different verticals of content you make. You talk about whatever, like these four different types of things. Mm-hmm. You can now use it to like come up with like 20 ideas for each of those. And then say, of those, based on my audience, which three do you think will resonate the most? And then put it in there. Then you can say like, okay, now we have those. And let's say who, like let's say, I'm just going to use Mr. Beast as an example, but let's say he's your influence, your mentor, and you want all your content to be like him or like Grant Cardone or whatever. You can say, okay, now write hooks and titles in the style of those people. Mm-hmm. And then your content will just have a little bit more of that punch if you're looking for it. So you can.
What's, from a philosophical standpoint, is it cheating or is it efficiencies?
Is the camera cheating for the artist?
No.
I mean,
I don't think so.
No. I think at the time it was considered that right. way though, right?
So I don't think now I think that, right.
So I think it's all relevant. Like I don't think anything is cheating because if you don't do it right, you're just a fool.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like you're given, it's not like you're given the answers. You're just given a tool to maybe find different answers or faster answers or more thoughtful answers.
Yeah.
No, but I agree. You could also cut your hand off.
Right.
So yeah, I mean,
you
I don't
do
know.
It wrong. If, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. This is my favorite episode in a while. Learning, this is interesting to learn about. It's so new. I mean, it's not new, but it's new to a lot of people, right? How long is it, how long has ChatGPT been around?
Since, I mean, I think mainstream, it went live in November.
Okay.
But I know the auto industry, it seems, yeah, it's absolutely new. And that's just when it just went live, right? That's not even when it was really, it's slowly over the last few months become more and more popularized. But I know just talking to people in the industry, it seems like we're a little bit hesitant. One thing I've heard is that especially from a sales point of view, that our staff are already lazy. Why do we want to make them lazier?
Right.
And so I think there's an apprehension to get even use it at the store level because we think, oh, we're just going to give these guys who are already on their phones all day on social media. Now they're just going to be lazier. They're just going to respond quicker and go back to that. Right. And I'm like, for sure, some will. But those are the people you get rid of. And then the other ones won't even need them because you'll take, you know. So I think that's where we talk about, will it lose jobs? Yeah, people that aren't relevant and are not competitive, perhaps.
Wow. Before I let you go, how does a guy in Canada become a Boston Red Sox fan? For those of you listening, not watching, Steve's wearing a Boston Red Sox hat.
That is a great question. So I'm not. Is the short answer. I'm a fan of the letter B.
you just love the letter B.
Well, it's short story is family person in the family used to play hockey in UMass. And so when they were there, they gave me this hat and I just like it. So it's got sentimental value. And my last name's Bayless. It's got a B on it. It kind of works.
All right. It works. I'm okay with that. Steve,
I'm more of a Chiefs fan. That's the truth.
Oh no, I'm a Patriots fan. It's a depressing existence right now. What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Okay, so we're gonna do two more episodes. I've just decided we're gonna do one where we walk through ChatGPT and we use it for practical application for something, so people can say, "Oh, look at this from beginning to end." And then we'll do one about content marketing, and we'll learn a little bit about your artistic and graphic design background and talk a little bit about that as well. So you're going to be like the most frequent guest of the year so far.
I love it. Thank you. That's brilliant. So
all right.
Thanks so much. And I'm excited to join you along here. So thanks for being open to ChatGPT, and we're going to change your life with it. I
love
promise.
It. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Take care.
There you go, folks. Steve Bayless, Marketing Director, Trotman Auto Group, podcast host, Art World 100, and he's Canadian, which we like. Interesting topic. I am going to spend the rest of my day on ChatGPT, I think, because I want to learn. I think it's important to learn what's out there, and I'm going to, if you go back and read all the copy and the titling and everything for this podcast, I'm going to do all that on ChatGPT. On a side note, my hair looks like an eraser today, I just realized. I'm not sure why that is. Like, you could stick it on top of a pencil and erase. Very odd. Anyway, thanks for checking out Balsy Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, brought to you by Silverback Advertising.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper's blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, Follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.